Hi, Pastor Colin here from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way Ministries, airing right here on 107.5 Alive every Sunday evening at 6:30. And I am so excited to announce that Shepherd of the Hills will be hosting Sidewalk Prophets live and in concert on April 18th at Boyertown Middle School East. For more information or to buy your tickets today, log on to www.soth.church. That's www.soth.church. Click on the Sidewalk Prophets banner and get your tickets today. Space is limited, so don't wait. Invite all your friends and all your family and join us for a night of worship with Sidewalk Prophets at Boyertown Middle School East on April 18th. This is Pastor Colin from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way Ministries saying God bless, and remember, be a light for someone this week. Can you help me find you?
Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
Well, if you would join us by opening your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. I want to talk this morning about loving the unpopular in the world. Having a sense of belonging is one of the most important relational needs a person has. And yet study after study will show that about 1 in 4 people say they do not feel accepted by their peers. And what comes from that feeling of rejection are things like relationship problems. It comes to present in their life in the form of lower performance at work, depression, even aggressive behavior toward other people. They're all connected to feelings of rejection. One study I read this past week said that when people feel rejected, they're more likely to be more aggressive drivers on the road. If they're in a position of authority at their workplace, they're typically more harsh on subordinates. If they're in a customer service kind of industry, they tend to be rude and impatient with their customers. One particular study I read showed that with 15 school shootings it reviewed, all but 2 said the shooter was socially rejected. And so what can we do? This problem is very real. How can we help? Well, the answer is we can dare to love the unpopular, the people who are living in society, but the world doesn't seem interested in them, people who aren't included, people who aren't invited, people who aren't picked for the team. Because the truth is, we live in a very harsh world these days. It used to be that if you were a person who was bullied at school or at work, then at the end of the day, it would at least be over for a time. You would go home and you would get a break, and it might pick up again the next day, but at least you could catch your breath. That's not true anymore. Because of things like the internet and social media, interpersonal interaction continues 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And for some people, at the wrong end of a bullying event, it never ends. There is no break. It doesn't stop. And so it becomes more important than ever to show love to people in the world who might need it the most, because there is nothing more powerful in this world than the power of love. In Proverbs chapter 10, it says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." That's what our series, Love is a Verb, is all about. It's about showing love to the people of the world who desperately need it. And I've asked you to open your Bibles today to John chapter 4, because in this very chapter, we see a person in desperate need of love. She's a person no one wants. She's a person who hasn't been accepted. She's not respected in her hometown. She represents every bullied kid, every person who feels like they're the butt of every joke. She represents every ignored neighbor, every person who has an unloving home. She's every employee who shows up late to work because they're trying to avoid certain coworkers who just don't quit. She represents the unpopular people of the world. And yet through all of this, we see the power of love change her life before our very eyes. And so I've asked you to open to John chapter 4, and we do have quite a bit to read, so I'll begin in verse 1, where it says, "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will well in him, or well up with him, to become a spring of eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered him, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.' The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.' Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' They went out of the town and were coming to him." Now, as I mentioned, it's a lot to read in one sitting, but that's kind of the point. Because of all of the conversations Jesus has with any one person in the Bible, this is the longest. It's a longer conversation than he has in one sitting with Peter or John or James or his mother. It's longer than any prayer he prays to his Father in heaven. This is the longest, and there's a lot we can learn from this one interaction. And the very first thing I want us to notice for this morning is everything about what we just read is inconvenient. It's inconvenient. Notice in verse 3, it says he left Judea. and went to Galilee. Verse 4, he had to pass through Samaria. You know, in the King James Version, it puts it like this. He needs, must go through Samaria. Here's the thing. No self-respecting Jew would dare step foot in the country of Samaria. And here's why. After Babylon defeated Israel and conquered the territory, the very war that Daniel got caught up in and he was shipped off to Babylon, well, they did that with a lot of people. They brought the Israeli citizens into the city of Babylon, and likewise, they put Babylonian citizens into Israel. And what came of that was a number of intermarriage relationships. And what came of that were families where the children were half Jewish and half Babylonian. And even though the Samaritans, as they would become known, considered themselves honestly Jewish, the Jews did not. They looked at them as half-breed pagans. That's why the woman even says here in verse 9, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jews have no dealings with them," it says. And so rather than go through Samaria on their way to Galilee from Judea, which would be a straight shot, Jews would go all the way around into a foreign nation up the side of a mountain chain. It would add days to their journey, but at least they wouldn't suffer the indignity of going through Samaria. And so not only does Jesus go through Samaria, but notice in verse 5 it says, he came to a town called Sychar. If you look on a map, the town of Sychar is actually halfway north and south in Samaria. In other words, you cannot go farther into this country before you're going out again. And right there is the town of Sychar. You see, Jesus didn't just stop at some border town. He didn't dip his toes in and then run right back across the line. He went out of his way to make this journey. And that's the very point. There will be times in your life where loving unpopular people will require you to go out of your way. It will be inconvenient. You will have to change direction. It will go against what's culturally acceptable. There will be times where it feels like you are doing all the work. And you'll think to yourself, well, at least this person could meet me halfway. I've done all of this. They could do something. It will seem like you're putting a disproportionate amount of work and effort into the whole thing. Maybe you're making all the phone calls. Maybe you're always the one who's hosting. Maybe you're always the one starting the conversations. Jesus did. It says here in verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, he started the conversation. Sometimes it will seem like it's all on you. And the truth is, sometimes it will be. But here's the thing that got me when I realized it. That's exactly how God loved us. He never once said, I've done too much, it's your turn. He never once said, you've got to meet me halfway to the cross. He never once said, okay, I've done enough, now it's up to you to finish the job. He did everything. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul even says, when we were dead in trespasses and sins in which we once walked, God was rich in mercy. And he loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses, and he made us alive with Christ. Jesus came all the way to earth. He went all the way to the cross. He went all the way to death, and then all the way back to heaven so that we can have the hope of a relationship with God. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, God showed his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so when I start thinking, that person's a lot of work. Boy, they show up at the most inconvenient times. They don't call. It takes a lot of effort. Every single time I start thinking that, I feel the Holy Spirit saying in my ear, so were you. And I did it anyway. And then I hear the words of Jesus in John chapter 13, where he said, just as I have loved you, love one another. I was reading a story one time of Billy Graham, who went preaching in the Soviet Union. And it was an unusual thing because it was right during the Cold War, and the Soviet Union and America weren't getting along so well, and it was unheard of that an American evangelist would be able to preach behind the Iron Curtain in communist Russia. But that's exactly what happened. And so Billy Graham was invited to go preach, and he did, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And the people of the Soviet Union welcomed him and cheered for him, and they were very hospitable. But when he came home, people in America told him he was a traitor. He was un-American. He had betrayed his country for taking the gospel to the Soviet Union. It was a very costly endeavor for him. And yet love is sometimes very costly, very inconvenient. And here we see very much of the same thing. Jews don't go into Samaria, but Jesus did. And it was costly, and it was socially awkward, and it did go against the culture of the day. And it was a lot of work, and he did more than she did. But often that is the nature of love. It will require us to go above and beyond. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love does not keep a record of wrong. And so it is often inconvenient to put aside all of those things that seem to come up and get in the way. The second thing I want us to notice is this woman does not seem to want to be noticed in any real way. Notice what it says at the end of verse 6. It was about the sixth hour, it says. Verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Now, to fully appreciate that, it needs some context. The day for them at that time started at 6 a.m. That was their first hour, so to say. And so from then, they would count. And so you don't have to do a lot of math to figure out that the sixth hour becomes 12 o'clock noon hour time. In other words, it's the hottest part of the day. In that area of the world, the sun can be very unforgiving. You remember the story in Exodus where Israel was given manna every single day to eat, but the catch was they had to get up early and they had to go get it every single day because the sun would come out. And it says in Exodus 16, when the sun grew hot, it would melt away. It was a hot place to be. I remember living in Albuquerque in the heat of the Southwest. I remember August specifically, one of the hottest months they have. It would be so hot, you could cook an egg outside on the sidewalk. And I remember doing it one time because I didn't believe anybody you could actually do it. But sure enough, you can fry an egg on the concrete. It is that hot. So imagine what it would be like in Israel. Out in the open, gathering water at 12 o'clock noon under the midday sun when it's at its highest point in the sky, fully covered head to toe in clothing. No air conditioner, no fan, no shade. And so women would not do this. They would go in the early morning before the sun came up. And not only that, they would go in groups because, you know, it wasn't the safest place to be away from a town as a woman by yourself. You'd be attacked or robbed or assaulted, and there's safety in numbers. And so they would go as a group. It was a dangerous place and time to live. But notice this woman. It was the sixth hour. It was noon, the hottest part of the day. And a woman, she's by herself, comes to draw some water. It was midday. The other woman had gone. She was by herself. It would seem that she does not want to be noticed. Why is that? Well, verse 17 gives us a clue. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you are right. Verse 18, you have had five, and the one you now have is not your husband. We read that, and the picture starts to come into focus. This is a woman who is not wanted. She's rejected by her people, who they themselves, ironically, have been rejected by the Jewish people. And so she's an outcast of outcasts, so to say. And she's had five husbands, and she's probably been widowed five times because she lives in a time when divorce didn't really happen. Maybe one of those might be a divorce, but probably most of those is where the husband died. And it's happened five times. And so this guy, he doesn't want to be number six. And why would he want to be? She's willing to live with him. She's willing to keep his home. She goes and gets water all by herself. She's doing the chores. You know, there's an old saying that goes, why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? And it's crude, but that's the reality of her life. And because of that, she doesn't have a very good reputation among the other women in the town. So she's become the talk of the town, but she's the butt of the joke. She's the subject of all the gossip. And because of all of that, she waits to noon until everyone's gone, and she goes by herself. Maybe she will suffer a heat stroke. Maybe she will be attacked. Maybe she'll be robbed and murdered. But at least she doesn't have to deal with the whispers and the ridicule and the shame that everyone must inflict on her every day of her life. I imagine that she walks to this well kind of slow, that she takes her time, that she looks around at all the vegetation and the flowers, and she enjoys the scenery. Because in just a little while, she's going to get back to reality. But for just a few minutes of her day, she can escape. You will deal with the same obstacles when you are loving an unpopular person. When you love a person who has been rejected by the world, you will see people who go out of their way to avoid conversation. They will avoid contact. They will be suspicious of your motives because they've learned they're probably not genuine. Because that person has also learned that usually when someone asks about their life, they're looking for another joke. They're looking for more ammunition. They're looking for something else to gossip about. And so it's not genuine interest. And so they would rather suffer and struggle alone than ask for help. Even if it means putting themselves at risk. Even if it means going through life alone, they would rather be unnoticed than part of a group that would ridicule them. And so that is this woman. It was the sixth hour, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water. That's why I say that when you love a person, it can sometimes and oftentimes be inconvenient. It will be a lot of work because you're dealing with a person who doesn't want to be noticed in the first place. And so what can we do? How do we cut through all of that? How do you show love to a person whose walls are erected every single day of their life? Well, notice how Jesus does it. Verse 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The very first thing he does, and this is the next thing we want to talk about, is he gives her a sense of value. He reminds her she still has something to offer, something to contribute to someone else. She can be of service and of use. You see, very often when a person feels unwanted, they often also feel worthless. Because after all, if they were worth something, then people would want them. But because no one wants them, it must mean they have nothing of value. And that's what this woman believes. Notice in verse 9, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me? A woman of Samaria, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." She assumed she had nothing of value. The women didn't want her company. The boyfriend doesn't want her hand in marriage. And so what could she possibly have to offer this Jewish rabbi from Judea? And so Jesus starts the conversation by giving a sense of value. "Give me a drink." You know, often when we're working with people who are in recovery for something, and it could be addiction, it could be recovery for some kind of trauma in life, it could be an illness, something that has changed how they live on a day-to-day basis, one of the very first things we say is, as soon as you possibly can, find a way to serve others. Because it reminds the person that in spite of all that's happened, they still have something to offer. And you know, the Bible says everyone has something to offer. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And it is that there are many parts, yet one body. You might not be able to do everything someone else can do. You might not be able to do everything you used to do. But we can all do something. And so remind the person they have value. Encourage them to do something productive. But before you do, a word of caution. Make it practical. Make sure it's something the person can do successfully. It doesn't help to put that person in a position where they'll fail. Notice Jesus does the very thing. He asked this woman not for something impossible, but something she could easily do. It was very practical. She has a bucket, she has a rope, she has a way to get the water, and he asks for a drink. It's within her capability. It sets her up to succeed. And so make sure that it's practical. Second, keep it reasonable. Remember, the goal isn't to get something. The goal is to give something, to give a sense of value. So keep it reasonable. Notice how Jesus says, give me a drink. He doesn't say, give me the whole bucket. He doesn't say, prepare a Thanksgiving meal. He says, can I have a drink? Third, don't let it get superficial. You know, something I've noticed about people who are suspicious, they're very good at spotting fake sympathy. And nobody wants to be the recipient of pity. Nobody wants to feel patronized. Nobody wants some token, menial task that doesn't much matter. I remember listening to a number of stories of how Calvary Chapel started with Chuck Smith way back in the 60s. And one of the biggest controversies early on in those days was regularly young people would be put into real positions of high leadership in the church. And people said, you can't do that. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have the life experience. They don't have the knowledge. They're not old enough. And yet they did it anyway. And it encouraged people. And in just a few years, that ministry has grown to 2,000 churches. And notice Jesus does very much the same thing. He gives her something to do, but it's important. He really was thirsty. I mean, think about it. He's come all the way to Sychar from Judea. It says here in verse 6 that he was weary from his journey. He doesn't have any food because in verse 8, the disciples are out buying it. It might look small, but this is a real need. And so make it practical, keep it reasonable, don't let it get superficial.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lightthewayradio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Munger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.
Hi, Pastor Colin here from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way Ministries, airing right here on 107.5 Alive every Sunday evening at 6:30. And I am so excited to announce that Shepherd of the Hills will be hosting Sidewalk Prophets live and in concert on April 18th at Boyertown Middle School East. For more information or to buy your tickets today, log on to www.soth.church. That's www.soth.church. Click on the Sidewalk Prophets banner and get your tickets today.
If there's a road I should walk, help me find it.
Space is limited, so don't wait. Invite all your friends and all your family and join us for a night of worship with Sidewalk Prophets at Boyertown Middle School East on April 18th. This is Pastor Colin from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way Ministries saying God bless, and remember, be a light for someone this week. Can you